This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
B-Pod Studios.
Basketball is here, folks, and there is no better place to get in on all the action around the league than with DraftKings. To celebrate this week's tip-off, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Again, code SPORTSHUB for this free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com
for details. Sports Hub. And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The offense stays on the field for the Patriots here. And the snap back to Newton. It's fourth down. Cam's in trouble. Cam's going to get sacked.
Not saying anything. I'm not
with
saying
with 108
anything.
To go.
It says it all.
The Dolphins are celebrating. So really it was
it's the gift that keeps on giving. He's the jelly of the month club.
The Dolphins with a 10-point lead. But it's fourth and three. You're down 10.
Throw the ball. You guys see enough? Who does he have pictures on?
So here's my question again. You're down 10. You need a field goal. It's fourth
down. It's inexcusable. Brian Hoyer is not dressed because of these type of decisions. And it's not fair to him to have to sit there and watch this.
All right, welcome in. 98.5, the Sports Hub, Felger and Maz program. No Felger, no Maz, no Murray. You got myself, Christian Arcand, alongside Big Ted Johnson. Hey, Teddy, how you doing?
I'm good, Christian. How you doing, pal?
That was the final call. And if you think that Zoe was just like that at the end, he was not. For the very first series of the game till the end, that was the Scott Zolak you got for that. Again, tremendous, tremendous commentary there for Mr. Zolak. And for more tremendous commentary, we welcome in the big boy, Greg Bedard, joining us here from Boston Sports Journal here. It is a Big Boy Tuesday. Greg, welcome. How are you?
Good, you?
Couldn't be better.
Peachy, thanks.
Just great. The Patriots lose again. The season's over. Eliminated by the Miami Dolphins, whom they beat in week one. Let's start off with some general game observations, guys. Teddy, if you want to start here.
Sure.
What was the big issue here that led to this loss? Maybe outside of not getting into the end zone for two straight weeks.
Yeah, I mean, but the offense is what it is, and we know what this offense is. We've been talking about how bad this offense is. So the offense... You know, they were doing what they typically do all season long, which is, you know, sputter against the run in the running game, and just the passing game was obviously inconsistent. But the defense is what really disappointed me. The defense was supposed to be kind of, I don't know, the thing that was going to anchor this team. And if so much of the success for the offense is dependent on the defense and getting the ball back and creating short fields, and creating more opportunities for the offense to score points. And to get run on like they did, after you just got ran on the week before against the Rams, when you have a 10-day break against a team that is not known for running the football, the Miami Dolphins, they're the worst team in the NFL as far as average yards per rush. And the Patriots could not stop. They couldn't game plan for it. They couldn't scheme it. They were blitzing to try and stop the run. They had, 10 guys in the box to stop the run, and they couldn't do it. You have a rookie quarterback. You had four starters missing on that offense. You had three rookie offensive linemen starting for the Miami Dolphins, and you give up 250 yards on the ground. That speaks to, I think, maybe what perhaps could be a larger problem. I don't know if you think this, Greg, but just a lot of times run defense comes down to heart. It comes down to desire, and it comes down to want to. And I think that's the most disappointing thing is that in a game that they had to win against a team that they could have beaten if they, if some things went their way because the Dolphins tried to give them that game, that's probably the biggest disappointment is that. And the defensive coordinator, has it been announced who that defensive coordinator is? Like, no one's really been talking about it. It was a big issue last year, a big storyline last
year. I think it's Steve Belichick.
Well, we don't know for
sure. Gerard Mayo? I have no idea.
I'm guessing it's Bill Belichick, which he was the defensive coordinator last year, whether he's going to admit it or not, he was. He's the same. He's the defensive coordinator again for this defense. And for Bill not to have any answers at this point in the season when you have – clearly, the only thing they can do is run the football when you have a rookie quarterback with all these weapons missing, and you still can't stop it. That's got to be a little bit scary for Bill moving forward, knowing that nothing I do is working on defense. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, Ted, I would echo a lot of your thoughts. I mean, the listeners will probably remember that after the Houston game, I was kind of incredulous about how, as far as the passing offense went, they didn't do anything against the Texans. And Deshaun Watson just – they just sort of laid back, and Deshaun Watson did whatever he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. This game was the run version of that to me. I was watching this game, and I was getting kind of irrationally upset because I can understand coming out with a certain game plan. It looked like they were playing the Dolphins somewhat like they did the Ravens with – it looked like they were really worried about the edges. They had, like, double-hang defenders. And Miami did try the edges early on a little bit, but then they realized, well, let's just go inside. Let's go with a lot of, you know, inside zone runs, double team to the second level, because the Patriots are using two defensive linemen, and they're using between four and five linebackers. They're using four
linebackers.
Or five. Yes, linebackers. Right, they're using
Adrian Phillips,
four
right?
or five defensive backs. And so the Dolphins just started plowing away inside, and the Patriots showed virtually no inclination to change. A couple times they did go with three defensive linemen, but it was very seldom. And my question is, I don't know if they were completely caught off guard by the Dolphins inactives, that come Sunday they didn't have Devontae Parker, they didn't have Gesicki, they didn't have Jakeem Grant, they didn't have Ereck Flowers, one of their best offensive linemen. You know, maybe they were caught off guard and they thought it was going to be a different offense. But all right, what do we know about the Patriots? They're really smart. They adjust. You know, they don't do just what mm-hmm. they do. They adapt. They change. They make adjustments. Well, they didn't do that in this game at all. They just said, we're going to keep doing whatever we're doing. And guess what? They just got run over repeatedly. And that you didn't put three defensive linemen out there more. I didn't understand it. Why aren't you in goal line? Like, you have a rookie quarterback with no weapons. Like, and the quarterback, when he throws, he hasn't been that good this year. And basically, they're treating him like Cam Newton. They're, you know, little five-yard passes here and there. That's about their passing offense. And the Patriots look like they were scared to death of these guys. And it was just disappointing. I wondered what the plan was, where the adjustments were. I was wondering, actually, you brought up the defensive coordinator, Ted. I wondered if this game, maybe Bill, for the first time, because as far as I knew, for most of the past couple of years since Matt Patricia left, and since Brian Flores left, basically Bill's been very heavy with the defensive game plan. He's been in charge. He sets the game plan, sets up the call sheet for Steve that is basically paint by numbers. That might have changed a little bit this year, giving him more responsibility. But I'm wondering if this game was a test where Bill said, you know what, Steve? It's all yours. You game plan. You make all the calls. And if that was the case, it was a big fat F.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to agree with that one. It's tough not to. Is this a question here, the run defense being so bad the last couple of weeks, certainly against L.A. with that rookie, and then again here with a practice squad of offensive talent there for Miami. Is this a question of game plan or a question of personnel?
It's. I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, obviously the personnel is – It's certainly not geared for this. And I think Bill, you know, kind of maybe coming into the season, you know, I'm curious to get your opinion on this, Greg. You know, he's kind of built this team, I think, maybe for more of a pass oriented offenses in the NFL, right? And that's so he runs a lot of nickel, big nickel. He doesn't run hardly base packages anymore. And, you know, I think so personnel is part of it. And then another thing is just, I think, stubbornness. I don't know, because I'm with you, Greg. There's, you know, if you were to ask Bill Belichick, why did you run so many just two D lineman sets against a team that kept gashing you? Why didn't you put bigger bodies in there? You know, I'd be curious if he would say, well, they were running 11 people, so that was that they were dictating what we played. Since when has Bill Belichick ever dictated, you know, let the opponent dictate what he does? He's never done that. At least the Bill Belichick I know never said, well, they're doing this, so we have to do this. Even though it's not working, they're dictating terms. And so it's a very strange kind of, I don't know, attitude and way in which he's coaching now that I've never seen before. So it's is it scheme? I think it's more personnel than it is scheme, because they're doing everything they can to scheme. And you saw them trying to really creative, kind of blitzing, you know, the Terrence Hall from the second level at the snap of the ball. He's hitting run blitzes just to get pressure and penetration. Yep. And he's been trying to do that all season long, you guys, and it hasn't worked. So nothing he's schemed up is really working. So to me, it's more about personnel than it is scheme.
Christian, one thing on that, you know, look, I thought scheme and calling as far as on defense was the problem on Sunday. But let's not avoid the fact that, you know, roughly this whole season, Bill, personnel wise, Bill's basically punted on this season. I mean, he really has, and he has not. You know, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the team. This was a sacrificial year, you know, at the end of the day. For him not to go out and get a real tight end all season, if this season was really about, all right, let's win, let's try to do the best we can for the guys on this team, then that was a dereliction of duty. Not getting more defensive linemen when you knew Bo Allen couldn't even practice this year is a dereliction of duty. If you were about this season and winning games, because what cost you on Sunday, I mean, they did it. They have Akeem Spence, whoever the hell that is. I didn't really see him out there. He could have been out there as a third defensive lineman or a fourth defense. God forbid they put four defensive linemen.
He was out there in goal line, Greg. He was out there for goal line.
Great. Goal line. I mean, they could have used the goal line between the 20s.
You're right.
That's where they couldn't stop him.
You're right.
But they just – there have been glaring deficiencies on this team on offense and defense where they could have made a move to say, you know what, we're going to try to be a little bit better so we win a little bit more. That hasn't happened this year.
One thing I saw in the offense that I was very surprised by was, first of all, Sony Michel running the ball well, which, wow, didn't expect to see that. Although, it is Miami. Miami's not great at run defense. You did point that out, Ted, and you were right. Sony Michel was running all over them, and then they just insisted on throwing with Cam over and over again until we just couldn't take it anymore. What was the offensive game plan there, and why did they go away from Sony Michel?
Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. But when you're averaging basically in the first half, I think he had five carries. He was averaging 8 yards per carry. I mean, you're basically every time you hand it off, it's almost a first down.
Yeah.
So the reluctance to kind of keep hammering that is a little bit mind-boggling. Now, I will say this. If you look at the last two games, they have gotten dominated in the first quarters, or the first quarter and third quarter. And maybe they, you know, Bill feels like, you know, they had the ball, the Miami Dolphins, in the first quarter for 11 minutes. And in the third quarter for 11 minutes. Now, they had ended up, total time of possession was like 37 to 22. I mean, it's hugely skewed towards the Miami Dolphins. But maybe Bill feels like, you know what, they're getting something going. We don't feel like we can maybe methodically move down the field. We need to start throwing the ball. But are you kidding me? I mean, it's Miami Dolphins, so you should have just really stuck to running the football. Why they didn't, I have no idea. Because, I mean, if you look at Sony Michel, doesn't he look like a player, you guys, that is worried about his future and his job? He has he came out there hell-bent to have a good game, and why they didn't feed him more 10 carries is a little bit of a head-scratcher.
Greg?
To me, it was what's been typical of this team all season is that Josh McDaniels tries to mix things up at a certain point. Like, just take, you know, the first meaningful series that they had. You get to a point, they had three drives where they basically got to, like, the Miami 35-yard line, where they got there, and then it just – everything completely stalled. And, you know, if you're in the party of, you know, let's just keep running the ball, that, you know, that's fine. I mean, I do think that you need to mix it up and you need to take, you know, shots. And, you know, that first drive where they get there was a perfect example where they get there and then the Patriots just fall apart because they can only put so many plays together in a row without the grenade going off and everything stalling. Like, that's why they can't make any big plays. They don't have any weapons. It just makes things much harder. So they get there, first and 10 at the Miami 40. They call a staple Patriots play that they have run year after year, different versions of it this season. It's never worked. They can't execute it. It's mind-boggling where basically they run low crossers from the left to the right. Mm. Devin Asiasi's leaking out, coming across. They're basically setting picks for him to be wide open on a first and 10 play. He is, and what happens? It's a 7-yard pass, and Cam Newton throws a 120-mile-an-hour fastball
right.
that almost goes off his face mask. Because all he has to do is throw it a little bit earlier, a little bit more touch, and he has about 20 yards, and they're in the red zone and cooking with gas. That doesn't happen. Then suddenly Cam Newton gets 1 yard, and then Cam has another play where that he doesn't throw early enough, and they screw that up, so it stalls again. Like, it's, yes, the running game works. They like to mix things in, but as soon as they do, it all just blows up in their face.
And one other last point.
Yes.
I want to make on that is that they were doing a lot more RPOs. So they did that in the first game and had a lot of success. I was a little bit surprised they dipped back into that well again because Miami was going to be obviously prepared for it. So a lot of the rushing attempts were in the hands of Cam Newton in this game when really it was Sony Michel who should have been getting the lion's share of those running opportunities.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. By the way, Greg, that play that you just mentioned prompted Zolak to call Cam Newton Rohan Davey reincarnated, which I think is the most insulting thing you could possibly say. We'll get to some more Cam Newton talk here. He had an Instagram post yesterday, which we'll try and decipher, and we'll do all that right after this here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
Getting you through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that thing.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now the radio.com app.
If you do choose to go with Cam, what has Cam shown you over the last couple of weeks that would make him the best option at that spot?
Yeah, really. We have a lot of team questions we need to answer, so I think that'll be the overriding thing. We'll talk about that, you know, today, tomorrow. We have an extra day this week, and you know, look at things from a start from a bigger picture standpoint. Just, you know, obviously, haven't played the run well the last 2 weeks, and you know, haven't been able to score a touchdown the last 2 weeks. So, you know, I don't think this is about any one individual.
Still doing the Christmas music, huh, Jim? All right. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz, Arcand.
Is that not allowed in this time slot?
No. Hey, it's fine. It's not my slot. Felger and Maz are out today. So is Murray. We got the big boy Greg Bedard in on Skype. Ted Johnson here as well, the other big boy. And that was to Bill Belichick answering questions about Cam Newton. He was very strident prior to that. Don't want to talk about this anymore. Cam's our quarterback. Seemed to soften a little bit there. We also have this. Cam Newton posted on Instagram yesterday, I believe. Was it yesterday? Day before. The following. And I'm not going to say it with all the accents and umlauts because I don't think those are meant to be pronounced. But it reads like this. Dear Patriots Nation, I will be the first to tell you that this year has been unacceptable in more ways than one, ! The standard has always been and always will be set, and unfortunately, I did not live up to what that standard was at all times or consistently enough, ! With that being said, the answers are in the locker room, and one thing I do know about this bunch is that this locker room is filled with guys who want to be part of the solution, including me, ! All things considered, you will not see any finger pointing or excuse making, but more accountability being placed on the guys, me, to get the job done. I think I speak for myself and others when I say challenge accepted. I read that and I was kind of bummed out. I don't know about you guys, but I read that and that kind of bummed me out. I read it and I was like, what are you talking about? Challenge accepted? challenge accept. You just got eliminated from the playoffs, and you're talking about challenge accepted. You didn't get challenged, Cam. You got eliminated. Like, maybe accept the challenge at the beginning of the year, not at the end, after you put together one of, I don't know, the worst passing seasons I've ever seen. I mean, I agree that, like, Cam's been a good soldier this year, and by all accounts, he's been a good influence on the locker room and certainly a strong vocal leader. I think guys look up to him and want to follow him. All those are great if you can be a passable NFL quarterback, which he's not now. I don't know if he's ever going to be again. But what did you make, first of all, of Cam's accepting the challenge here at the end of the year, and also really the Cam Newton experience in 2020 for the Patriots?
Greg, you want to go ahead?
Sure. yeah, I sort of read it the same way you did, Christian, in that I was like, oh, my God, he thinks he's going to be back next year, or at least he's hoping. Like, I don't think he's been told anything, but I think he's a little bit delusional in that he, you know, I don't know if he's like our Trump, like he's not going to leave the office. Like he's going to stay on. He thinks he's going to stay on and they're going to have to drag him out of one Patriot place. But that's the way I read it. Like, I was like, oh my God, he thinks he's going to be back next year. He thinks he's part of this team. Like, who's going to tell him? Who's going to tell him that he's not, that it didn't go well, that he was not good this year? And look, from everyone I've talked to there, Cam has been spectacular behind the scenes. And when I brought up in the past that Cam Newton could be back next year, it's come from, you know, basically people there, they love his leadership. They love his sway that he still has over players around the league, including players in that locker room. They think that he was basically screwed and was in a no-win situation considering the lack of weapons that they had on this team, including if you go back and you look at what Brady did at the end of last season, there's further evidence of that. And, you know, with the offseason and new offense and everything, you know, it wasn't going to be great this year. So for much of the year, at least, there's been the thinking that perhaps he could come back and be better with a lot better situation. I would disagree with that, but I still think it's in the realm of possibility, and I think that his comment goes further to that, and I think really he was just putting it out there. They had been eliminated. He just wanted to say something to the fans, but yeah, I think reading it, you were just like, oh, man, he thinks he's going to be back.
Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
he's been told that, but I think that's what he thinks.
I think he thinks the same thing, you guys, and why wouldn't he think that, though? Because I
stood by him every step of the way. Yeah.
That's my point. I think he's like, man, I mean, I can't play any worse than this. And you know what? They keep trotting me out there and you know, they keep, you know, kind of maybe at times, you know, there's you know, maybe making excuses for him about the roster and the weapons and the truncated offseason and coming in here late. And so I feel like he's probably like, well, these guys have had my back at every turn this season. And every chance that maybe you thought that I was not going to be able to, you know, that they might turn the reins over to, you know, Stidham, they've decided not to. And so my feeling is he's thinking that way because he feels that way just based on the behavior from the coaching staff and particularly Bill Belichick. So I've never seen a player, and I don't know if you guys can think of any player in the past where he's been given this amount of liberty or this kind of amount of chances to kind of like – you know, play better than maybe than Cam Newton has. I just can't think of another player that Bill has treated this way. I know he's the quarterback and you treat him a little bit different because of the position, but still, I can't think of one player in the past where I've seen Bill actually kind of, you know, protect and use him and kind of, you know, cover for him much, a lot like he has with Cam Newton. It's mind-boggling.
I've got one, and they're somewhat similar in that, you know, they're popular and they're out there, and maybe this has something to do with it. But Ocho Cinco, when he was here.
Oh, good call.
I mean,
okay.
He was
kept putting him out
horrendous.
There.
I mean, I talked to some of his teammates after his time here when they were like, that guy is the dumbest football player I've ever been around in my life. They're like literally at practice – They would run a play. They'd be like, "Ocho, okay, this is the way you're going to run it." The next play, they're, all right, let's run it again. Let's do it. He still couldn't do it right. And he was out there. They would put him on the field game after game after game that year. And you were just like, what the hell are they doing? What is going on? And another thing to this, Ted, I don't know how you feel about this, but what really made me see red watching the film the other day is here is Lawrence Guy, who has done everything for this team since he has been here. He has been a border. I think he should have been a Pro Bowler at some point. He has been, you know, you've short-staffed the defensive interior every year he's there. Last year was him and Danny Shelton. They got to play every game or else you'll suck against the run. This year, you don't give him – you sign Bo Allen. He can't even get on the practice field. It's just Lawrence Guy. If you don't have him, you'll really never defend the run. And what does he do? He's out there holding up the double teams game after game after game. Now, what happens in this game? He's getting his ass double teamed the whole game to the point where he's out there for the final freaking play of this game where the play doesn't even matter. The game is over. Lawrence Guy is out there getting his ass double teamed to the ground, and you can't take Cam Newton off the field because he sucks as a quarterback? Like, what are we doing here? Like, what's going on at One Patriot Place where Lawrence Guy is being sacrificed for all he's done for this team, yet we're too afraid. We don't want to hurt Cam's feelings, so we're not going to pull him off the field. Like, I just don't understand what's going on.
I got bad news for you guys. It's gotten worse. 27 minutes ago, the Patriots official Instagram account reposted Cam Newton's little thing there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wow. So they're on board with part of it. Maybe they're only on board with the this year was unacceptable part, but the whole challenge accepted, like we'll do it next year. Before we go to break, just yes or no.
And I got to follow up to what Greg said.
Okay, before we go to break here, yes or no. Cam Newton as a backup next year, yes or no?
No. Nope.
Greg?
I'm a no at this point.
How about his team chaplain?
Okay.
You take over for Jack Easterby. What do you think about that?
He's the new Easterby.
Fashion coordinator and team chaplain. I'm on board with it.
All right. That'll work then. All right. We got three up, three down coming your way in just a minute. First, we got the headlines, and then we're right back.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
Felger and Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said, point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it, other than you. We don't, the listeners don't, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger and Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, three up, three down is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventative screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. All right, it's three up, three down. We will begin with the ups so we can rip apart the downs. Ted, why don't you go ahead? Who's your first up?
My first up is Kyle Duggar, the second-round pick from this year. This guy has... You know, there was one game, I forget, it was, maybe the San Francisco game where he was getting torched in coverage. But for the most part, this guy is a solid, solid run defender. He's got an edge to him. He made some plays in this Miami game. Pass defense, five tackles, and then two run stuff. So this kid, you can see how they're using him, Greg. It's a little bit, I think, you know, I feel like if you look at him, he's not that much smaller than like Kyle Van Noy. I know he's a safety, but he can do a lot of the same things. They'll blitz him a lot, and he's just a really good in-the-box run defender. So Kyle Duggar, for me, is my first of the three up.
All right, Greg?
Yeah, I agree with him on Duggar. I did not have him in my top three, but he was close, and I agree with him. I fell in love with Duggar in that Seahawks game. His athletic ability that he shows is blitzing. He's sort of like – it looks like he has a ways to go in terms of coverage, but – that's why he reminds me a lot of Jamal Adams in terms of Jamal Adams is a cover guy.
Yep.
He's a run and hit guy. And I think he's going to be their version of Jamal Adams very early in his career. But I went with Sony Michel. I thought he ran hard. I thought he did well. Most of it was similar to what we've seen in years past. When Sony runs well, it's because the blocking's really good. And most of the time he was running for 10 yards before getting touched. But He ran hard and did a good job and was highly productive, so he was my number one.
All right, my number one up was Adrian Phillips, who is a decent safety, but I think the best linebacker on the team. He had a sack on Sunday. He's, I think, in the top 30 in tackles in the NFL, yeah. And I'd say he's probably Bill Belichick's best offseason acquisition of this year. I've not really noticed him as a big problem out there, game in and game out, and I think that he's a guy that probably has a future on the team. Just not some more I can say for a lot of these other guys. All right, next up, Ted.
Yeah, and I'll just back you on that. God bless him for taking on a lot of these guards. He's taken on a lot of guards when he shouldn't have to do that. But my second of the three up is Jakobi Meyers. I was a big fan of this guy last year. Look, I mean, he was undrafted. Okay, he maybe doesn't look, maybe look the part, but this kid finds ways to get open. He's very savvy. He had a big game, 111 yards and 7 catches. And I think he's the kind of guy that you want to reward, for good play. He's the kind of guy, hardworking, came in here with no fanfare, and I think he's busted his ass to get playing time. And when he's out there, I think he produces. So he's the second of my three up.
I had the same. I had Meyers, and I also somewhat I gave him half of that fumble because I think half of it was Cam Newton threw a really crappy ball that made him turn back towards the defense. Mm-hmm. He had plenty of room in front of him. If Cam Newton puts it where he's supposed to put it, Jakobi Meyers never fumbles that ball, probably gains another 15 or 20 yards. So Meyers was my number two.
My number two was Jake Bailey. That's Pro Bowl punter Jake Bailey to you, I should say. Pretty serious red flag when your punter gets honored like this, but I do think he's had a good year. He's been a nice replacement for Ryan Allen, who's like out of the league now, can't catch on with the team. I think that he's done everything you wanted him to do. He's a punter. What do you want? He's been one of the few bright spots this year.
He's been great. Sideline coffin kicker. Just a great job inside the 20. My number three for three up is Sony Michel. Look, he ran like with a guy with his hair on fire, like a guy that looks like maybe he's worried about his job. 10 carries, 74 yards. I mean, he's averaging almost 7.5 yards per carry. They should have fed him more than they did.
My one defender in the up, because I realized I couldn't really have three offensive ups since they scored 12 points. but I went with Tashaun Bauer. This is a guy who has, they're very limited on the edge. Yeah. And he wasn't perfect, but he's done a pretty good job this year in setting the edge. He got pressure. He batted a couple passes down. So I thought he did a pretty good job.
All right. My last up is Nick Folk. Guy's a machine. He's on the injury report every single week, and he just comes in. He thumps him from wherever, 50 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards. There's nothing else to like on this team, Greg. True. I don't know if you've been watching. Nick Folk, and by the way, they drafted a kid to come in here and take over Folk's job, and he said, no, sir, Mr. Proud Boy, I'm going to be kicking on this team. And that's what he's been doing. So good for him and good for the special teams there. Those are my three ups. All right, let's get to the downs. Let's have some fun here. Teddy, first down.
Yeah, my first down is whoever the defensive coordinator is for this team. We don't really know officially who it is. I have an idea. My guess is it's Bill Belichick, but that defense was not ready to go. And when you give up 250 yards to a team that has a rookie quarterback, three rookie offensive linemen starting, four of their top weapons not playing, they have to run the football. That's what they have to do if they're going to beat you, because they're not going to be slinging it through the air because of how good your secondary is and it's a rookie quarterback. And you can't do anything about it, and you don't make adjustments like Greg said earlier. That, to me, was the most frustrating thing. It was the play caller and the schemes and the game plan on defense. So that's my first of the three down.
Number one for me was Terrez Hall, the linebacker. Oh. I just thought he was late on everything when he had a chance. He could have stuck his nose in a few places. He didn't. My biggest thing with Hall, though, is like, look, he's limited. He was like an undrafted guy, on the practice squad for the first 9 weeks. My question is, how can Anfernee Jennings start over him by now? Like, what are we doing here? This is Anfernee Jennings. You drafted him from Alabama, where he basically played in the same scheme, and we're in week 15 with a playoff spot supposedly on the line, and Jennings is sitting behind an undrafted, practice squad guy. Like, what's going on here? Why can't Jennings play earlier in his career here? It's just putting those two things together, number one was Hall for me.
All right, my first down will be the tight ends, the entire group, all three of them, including Izzo. I understand it's a tough position to learn, but these two rookies in particular, pretty much the antithesis of Gronk, and he should not be named. Hands of stone, they never get open. It's two draft picks whose first years have basically been flushed directly down the toilet. I would like to see what they look like with a different quarterback. I think that they couldn't be any worse, but two cracks at the can, and both of these guys look like they kind of stink. So I'll go ahead with that.
You know what's weird? They look undersized to me. I thought they'd be bigger than what they are, but I'm with you. All right, so my second of the three down is, and this is a guy who I thought got off to a really good start up to the season, but the last couple games, oh my goodness, when you watch the film, Dietrich Wise, I thought really struggled. Yeah. When he gets double teamed, Greg, oh my gosh, there's some film. Mm-hmm. I was watching the film. You know, and it's one of these things. There was who was it? I forget who said it in a team meeting one time, but we had a nose guard get pushed back, 10 yards, and someone in the back said, asked him what coverage he was in. And it just looked like Dietrich Wise was getting driven back play after play and into the linebacker's lap. So I thought Dietrich Wise, who started out, I thought, strong against the run this year, he seems to be slipping a little bit. And he had a bad game, I thought, against Miami.
I think that's another example, Ted, of the sort of personnel just complete and utter failings on this team, because we all know, I think Wise, like you said, Wise has done a good job for most of the season, but lately he hasn't. And to me, that's because he's had to play out of position just like he did last year, and he gets worn down, and he's just, yep, he's tired, he's beat up. And we saw in the Tennessee Titans playoff game, they completely ran over him, and that's, we're at that point now, and that we're back here again just goes to show you how bad the personnel has been on defense and the decisions that Belichick's made. My number two, and this will lead into my number three, because I just don't feel good enough putting anybody else on the list, is Cam Newton in the first half. Just in general, I had Cam Newton for 3+ plays in this game. Two were on broken tackles on runs. One was on his one really good play, which is what we thought we were going to get out of Cam coming into the year.
James White
was
played.
White play.
Yep.
Where he avoided guys in the backfield, yep, got rid of it. They made something out of it. Like, you were like, holy crap, there's Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. Where's he been all year? But other than that, I had him for 13 down, 13 minus plays in this game, including about 8 in the first half.
All right, go ahead with your third, since it ties in then, Greg, because we're running out of time.
It's Cam Newton in the second half.
Okay, there you
go.
Like,
I don't feel good about putting anybody else on the list except Terrence Hall and Cam Newton, because those guys were by far, in my opinion, the worst players in the game.
Yeah, I had Cam as a down as well. He's been the definition of insanity this year. You just keep doing the same thing over and over, hope for a different result. Other teams know that they're not going to pass, so that's how you go two games in a row without scoring a touchdown. My third is Bill Belichick, who was thoroughly outcoached and outclassed by Brian Flores and his practice squad. And the reason why this makes a difference is because this happens before. You see some of these other coordinators beat Bill, McDaniels in Denver and, Patricia a couple years ago. And that's, kind of cute. And we go, wow, good for them. Now they're knocking them out of the playoffs. It's a brand new world. It's a whole new world here.
It's crazy. And the Miami Dolphins, again, there's time after time they tried to give that game to the Patriots, and they still couldn't do it. My third for three down is Juwan Williams, who did not even play in the game. He was a healthy scratch. This is a second-round pick who I was high on 2 years ago. Why he isn't more of a factor in this defense is a head-scratcher. Him not even dressing, to me, is a big disappointment, considering how high he was drafted out of Vanderbilt 2 years ago.
All right, there you go. That is three up, three down, brought to you by Mass General Hospital. When we come back, a former Patriot and current Dolphin had some things to say about the Patriots' honeymoon. We'll discuss that with the guys right after this.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
Patriots.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.
98.5, The Sports Hub, Felger and Mass, here on a Big Boy Tuesday with Greg Bedard, Ted Johnson in here as well. Just had three up, three down, and I wanted to get to this. Kyle Van Noy, former Patriot, current Miami Dolphin, spoke with Burt Breer a couple days ago and had this to say. He said, I'm going to keep it real. They thought everything was good, if that makes sense. They were all laughing and joking, talking about week one. We remembered that, and we're in a different situation than they were. They were basically already eliminated. We just needed to finish it, and we did that today. I think the honeymoon is over. We got the job done. There has been a lot of crosstalk, I think, on Twitter and everywhere else, on sports radio, callers and things, as to what he meant by the honeymoon is over. Was it the last 20 years? Was it the honeymoon of Cam Newton? Which honeymoon is he referring to, and is it over?
You know, my feeling is, you know, and I don't know exactly, but if I had to guess, my feeling is that maybe he's talking about the ring, the 20-year reign. If I had to make a guess.
It's a long honeymoon.
It is a long honeymoon. So my feeling is that's, you know, maybe that's what he was talking about, and he used honeymoon, and maybe it's in the perfect fit. But, you know, I feel like here's a guy that, you know, he thought probably he's a little bit maybe, you know, mad that he didn't get a better offer from the Patriots. And sometimes, you know, a lot of guys leave here angry. How do you know that? Well, it comes out, it seeps out in little ways. But for the most part, guys don't say a whole lot because Bill's still coaching. He still has a lot of power, and you don't want to upset Bill while you're still playing. But, you know, some certain guys, you know, Danny Amendola let it slip out a little bit how he felt. And I think that's a little bit of frustration. If I had to guess, Greg, is Kyle Van Noy is probably mad that he didn't get maybe a better offer here. And so I think some guys leave here. Even though they leave here with rings, they leave here a little bit disgruntled because maybe it didn't end the way they wanted. And I feel like that maybe Kyle Van Noy fits in that category.
When I first read that quote, my reaction, the way I read it, was that Van Noy was saying that the honeymoon period for the Dolphins were over, that they were legit, that they knocked off the Patriots.
Oh. Mm.
That's the way I took it originally. Mm. Now, I don't know if that's right. I mean, I'm just telling you when I first read it, because I did read Burt's column that morning, and that's the way I took it. But maybe it was wrong. Mm. Maybe it's just Kyle Van Noy misspeaking. But, you know, I'll tell you this. I've never been a huge fan of Kyle Van Noy's. I think he's a hell of a football player. And, you know, they really miss him on the edge, and he did a nice job on Sunday again. You know, but I've never been. That's why I didn't really push back against Felger last year when he would basically call Kyle Van Noy a tool bag, because I do think he kind of is, and he thinks he's one of these guys who thinks he's a lot better, a lot more valuable, a lot smarter than he really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all look. None of us are as great as we think we are. You know, but you know, you gotta keep it real sometimes. And I'm just, you know, I think. It could be that he was saying the dynasty's over, and you wish he just would have said the dynasty, but he says the honeymoon because he's not as smart as he thinks he is.
Mm-hmm.
I originally took that as he was talking about the Dolphins, that they've graduated to now being for real and ahead of the Patriots, but I could be wrong on that.
Here's how I took it, and this is amazing because it's one quote and we took it three different ways. Yep. I took it as he was talking about the Patriots after they beat him and then had that game against Seattle where it looked like Cam was actually good in the Patriots. I mean, people were talking about Cam as the MVP in the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of talk about how this was actually a pretty good thing we got going on here, and I think that may be the honeymoon he was talking about because, you know, they got eliminated from the playoffs. There was no way it was happening. He sort of hinted at that. Like, they were basically eliminated. We just closed the door. I think that's the honeymoon he means. They thought they were going to be good. Like, you guys thought you were going to be good again. You thought you were going to squash us Dolphins like you do every single year after that win. And now your honeymoon's over. It's not happening and you're done. And I think he's right about that, obviously. They're not playing anymore. But in terms of the future, I mean, the Dolphins, that's a team they could be looking up at for a while, right? I mean, it could be a few years before they pass the Dolphins.
I mean, are you kidding me? Absolutely. I mean, because it is a well-coached team, and you know what, it's interesting, everybody talks about Brian Flores being his own man, and he is his own man, but what are some of the things that he's taken from the Patriots? I think you can see kind of in particularly at least in the defense. I mean, that's the number one rated defense against in third down. Situational football is so big, and those defenses that on those championship teams that I was a part of, we were excellent in situational football. Third down, the Dolphins rank first in the red zone. They're top 10 red zone defense. And then they're also, I think, number two in scoring defense. Last year, they were the worst in scoring. This year, they're first. And those are all staples of Bill Belichick. And then, you know what? Kyle Van Noy reminds me, I've had an interaction with him. I'm not the biggest fan of him either. So everything you just said, Greg, I kind of concur with you on that. but he almost looks like he's kind of taking the Rodney Harrison role for that team. It's us against the world and kind of being able to reframe it in a way that nobody believes in him. So that seems to be his role, at least on that team, for Kyle Van Noy.
All right, 617-779-0985. That is the phone number. We got Van Noy's comments on the table. The AFC East getting better. And we got some Pro Bowl selections to get to as well. Patriots not getting shut out there. We'll get into all of that at the top of the hour. 90 seconds here, no commercials, and we're right back.
Basketball is here, folks, and there is no better place to get in on all the action around the league than with DraftKings. To celebrate this week's tip-off, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Again, code SPORTSHUB for this free shot at $1 million with your first deposit, only at DraftKings.
$5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.